gentlemen over. And a continuation of the visit with Wade and Rick's reporting. This says it's supper, the 21st of June, 73. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with Wade and Rick's report now, too. All of us together with Debbie, this Thursday, the 21st of June, 73.
We had conflict in evidence. About it. You heard about that? Well, Miss Day, you tell us. You know both sides of it.
Well, you know, you were talking about David. I know. Miss Daisy came this morning, and she sat over here, and she said that David wanted to work yesterday, and Izell told him he couldn't use anybody else. Everybody needed. So David just, he was a little bit put out, and Miss Daisy was put out too. And she said to us, she said, you know, if somebody wants me to work, I mean, if I say to somebody that I'm going to work and they tell me no, that's the last time they'll tell me no. I just won't go again. So I said to David, you just find you something else to do. Don't you go back over there. But I guess he did, because he worked today. But the other half of the story is, I was sitting up on the porch yesterday when David went down to the field, and I saw him go by with some friend of his.
Uh-huh.
And he just got by the window, and Miss Daisy called at him, only her voice was kind of low, and he didn't hear her, I don't think. So little Bessie, who is mammoth and has got a voice that you can hear all the way up here, leaned forward and said, "David, your grandmama's speaking to you." Well, he whipped around and came back over there. And Miss Daisy wanted to know is if they were through picking. And David said, "No, we're just going to go up there and watch. We ain't working. We're just going to go watch."
Well, they watched. I think David helped once. He just loaded two or three melons to kind of show how fast he could go when everybody else was worn out, and then he just sat out again.
Well, see, according to him, he wanted to work, and Izell wouldn't hire him.
I even asked Izell, is there anybody else around you can get out here?
Well, now, where'd the other information come from? That Isaiah asked him to work, and he said he wasn't going to work today, he was just going to look.
Me? I heard him say that. Miss Daisy, he told Miss Daisy that he'd asked Izell if he could work, and Izell said no. But when he was in the road talking to us, he said no, he was just going to go down there. Look, he wasn't working. He was just going to look. He is pretty big.
But Izell actually asked him if he wanted to work.
No. He asked Izell if he could work, and Izell said, "No, we got all we can use." Probably didn't want to pay him. Was probably what it was. He just didn't want to pay another hand if he didn't have to. It's only two stories. It's only two versions. The version that we heard in the road, and then the version that David told to Miss Daisy.
Well, I don't know any more than that. It was my understanding that he said he wasn't going to work, just like David said.
Well, he sure worked today. We just flew down those roads, hardly ever took the tractor out of gear, as long as he was loading them. Those poor kids couldn't even stack them. We'd end up at the end of the road with melons all over the place in that trailer. And he'd just look at them, be just real put out because they couldn't stack as fast as he could throw them.
Oh, he's strong.
Lord, you gotta be to put up with that. Those things, what, 30, 40 pounds? 30 pounds?
Yeah, I'd say 15 to 25, more likely.
Yeah, there's some nice eyes on them.
Yeah, you hit one that runs 20, around 40.
20 pounds is pretty, still pretty good sized melon.
You're pitching a bunch of them.
This way.
Yeah,
if you got
straight
up. 25, it's. It's a real good sized melon.
Are they at 119 pound Newberry?
Can you imagine?
$25 prize for the biggest watermelon, 119 pounds.
David grew up over there, and that was a boy. Bouncing that basketball. They never worked any, but they bounced that ball. But you know, some people don't have to exercise.
Well, some of them, I don't know how they do it. They just stay huge all
the
time. They
just got power. Well, they work or not. I don't know how they do it. Maybe he works.
Well, if that
that's a strange thing. I know a fellow in town, Ron Chris. It's probably about 28, 30 now. And you look at him, he looks just a little pudgy. He doesn't look muscular. He doesn't look big. Matter of fact, he looks like he'd be a little bit of on the weak side. I mean, you know, not muscular. Good God. I did an Indian wrestle thing with him one time, and I ached for 2 weeks. I'll never do it again. Bent everything I had out of shape. He's mean. I mean, just tough.
Now, Mr. Weaver would hold up with somebody like that. Mr. Weaver said nobody ever pulled him off balance.
That's right.
Yeah, but but that just reminds Mr. Weaver of his stories. Comes in there and the yellow fly's messing around. And Buster's hitting the yellow fly, and Max says, "Here, let me tell you how to do that. I know how to kill a yellow fly." The way you do it, you got to leave your fingers open because it's the air that scares them off. Leave your fingers open. Buster says, "Oh yeah, really?" Yeah. The yellow fly lights up. He said, "You missed him." Buster has loved it when he missed him. Because anything he does, you know, he knows the proper way to do it. Just the right way to do it. I just wonder now how many times he did get thrown off balance. Yeah, that is. Listen to Buster talking, man. It's a whole other side to Mac Weaver.
You know.
Yeah. I've listened to Mac Weaver a few times, and he's a pretty righteous person when you hear his side of the story. Doesn't cuss, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't gamble.
He don't cheat.
Mm-mm.
You know what Max said?
He used to walk into somebody's house when he was dealing in furs, and they go, "Do you smell that?" And they go, "Oh yeah, smells like you got something dead around here, doesn't it?" And then he'd get to the furs, and they're spoiled. He'd get them at a cheap price.
You know that
sheer fucker. Honesty.
You know that's apocryphal.
Yeah, that's that honest man. That's funny. Old Buster does love to catch him. As he comes by and bends Buster's ear and gets Buster mad. Of course, Buster loves that too. He complains about it.
Why do you?
He, you know, comes by and talks. And says, "Oh, there, I don't need him now. I sure don't need him now." Mac comes driving up. Buster will sit there and talk to me for 2 hours straight, complaining about people coming by and talking to him and interrupting his work. He sat down the other day with a wrench in either hand, sitting in front of the brake shoes for a good solid hour complaining about people interrupting his work.
Oh, I saw Buster today. I saw the same thing in him that you saw that time, you know, when you were in there, Rick, and he thought you were going to steal.
Oh, he doesn't like that.
He doesn't, well, he doesn't really know who I am anyway, but I wanted to leave a note over there for Ted and Bridget, and they weren't there. And so I had a piece of paper, but I didn't have anything to write on, and Buster was standing outside, so I went over and I said, "Hi, Buster, can I borrow, do you have something to write with? Can I borrow a pencil for a minute? I just want to leave a note." He said, well, he didn't have a pencil, but he had a pen. And I said, well, that's fine. So he went into the garage, and he got it for me, and I followed him in to use the pencil. And he had a lot of bills and wrenches and tools, but it was also his office. I mean, that's where he kept all his bills. And I said, well, I'll just write right here. So I put my paper down, and I started writing. Well, he stood right at my shoulder for a minute, looking over my shoulder to see what I was writing. And then when he saw I was going to write more than about 5 words, he reached over in front of me and he said, I'll just take that check that's right there. Goodness, how did I leave that there? I'm going to misplace it. He thought I was going to take it as if I'd even look up there and know, and all these piles of things, as if I'd even know what was a check and what wasn't.
Oh, he's touchy about that place. That was the classic thing that Rick got into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't feel like Lone Ranger about that. I mean, that was nothing personal.
You look at it, it's fallen down.
You just crossed wires, because I don't know how many times I've heard him complain about somebody come nosing around there and go walk off and stuff and things like that. And, it, you know, if he doesn't know you honestly straight through and forward,
well,
he's part of the family, he's going to raise hell about you going in that shop.
Well, he might do it even so.
Oh, yeah, you can't tell. I mean, I'd expect him most any time. If I walk in one door and come out the other, he might yell at me.
Well, now, that's since old Jim Means used to sit back there and smoke a cigar. He had paid attention then.
Well, there's a few people that, you know, could wander all over the place. It's according to his mood, too.
Yeah.
You know, if he's crotchety about something, that's one of the hairs you cross on him if you go into that garage.
Sugar Man.
Oh, Sugar Man probably goes anywhere. Probably.
Yeah. Is Buster doing much work now?
He hangs onto a car most all day long.
Does he?
That's a pretty wide open question when you ask if he does a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I thought he just about quit. I think he did much of it.
He put a clutch in my van. I asked him, I said, told him what was going wrong with it, and he said, well, what you want to do is get the clutch disc. And then I said, the plate? He says, no, you better get that straight. The plate's expensive. You want to get the clutch disc. And I said, well, I better go write that down, what I ought to get. So anyhow, I went in town, I got the disc, brought it back, and I had to leave. I was out of town that night. Yeah, I went down South Florida, and he was working on it that afternoon, and came back next morning. It was all fixed. I got in it, cranked it up, and let the clutch out, and it rattles and hops and jumps like crazy. I said, Jesus Christ, Buster, this ain't working at all. I said, something's wrong. He said, well, that could be you know, anytime you take one of these things apart, that the springs loosen up and put it back together, just they never work the same.
Oh no!
And he said, probably needed a pressure plate. And I said, well, why in the hell didn't you put in a pressure plate? He said, well, you only brought a disc down here to be put in, and you were gone. And he got really, really up, you know, mad about that a little bit. And he put it all off on me, like I'd gone and bought the part, and he said, if you buy the part, that's all I'm going to put in. I didn't get into arguing with him the fact that he told me to buy that part. I just let that go.
Well, you're did sort of a dead end.
Oh, no, no use talking about that. Then he says, oh, well, it'll wear in. Don't worry, you drive it for a month and it'll be all right. And I said, well, what about this rattling? Something's rattling fierce. He said, well, that's when you pull these splines apart a lot of times. I'll just grease it. I'll take care of that. So he greased it for me. It rattles worse and jumps worse than it ever did before. And I put 1,000 miles on it. Going to pull it apart and put it in the pressure plate. But that's Buster.
Just one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a...
I couldn't even get him to work on my old Ford tractor and get it fixed. And that just next thing to a wagon.
Oh, good Lord. He's not going to extend himself at all. He goes the other way.
But he won't do anything for Mr. Weaver.
He'd rather not.
Because Mr. Weaver will stand there and tell him I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he loves to get off on that subject, people telling him what to do.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he'll spend hours talking about that.
Well, how could we get some of that talk?
Every now and then he'd crank up with some good stuff. Buster will. If you can just get him off of his sex and dirty stories.
I can forget some of that.
I might be able to get it on cassette. But I know what I ought to do is get me a couple of those 2-hour cassettes and because I'm going to pull that truck back down next week or so. And machine's just right under the seat. And that's a good mic.
Well, you have to talk pretty much into a microphone.
Not this one. I mean, it's not good recordings, but it's a funny thing. It's just one of those modulator jobbers or something.
Yeah.
Crazy. It picks up odd things. I don't know.
Yeah, but it gives you the willies to listen to it.
Well.
You've got to consider that.
I hadn't done that much listening to it. So.
Well, you can tell the vast difference. Record some of that, and then use just an ordinary microphone,
mm-hmm.
and on the same machine.
Oh, I was just thinking that it's a casual thing. I just might do that. We'd be working in the van.
Yeah.
So all you do is punch it in.
That's not worth doing. I've had too much of that.
Yeah.
You can't even listen to it.
Well, I'd better go make my preparations.
On your
steed
out there?
Yes, got that all put together. Front and rear. I still don't relish driving in the dark.
No. Yeah.
I'm a little skittish on that machine.
Yeah.
But are you going to travel on that?
Not tomorrow.
No, that's too far.
Ooh, no. I won't even go to town on it yet. I'm sticking to the back roads for a while. Yeah, I've got a healthy respect. They're fun to drive and everything like that, but you can get messed up pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell him about Leslie.
Down
Orange Lake, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. You got the Pressing Club?
Mm-hmm.
You know that old tractor he's got? It's an old Alice Chalmers, just a 3-speed. And it's got one of these where to turn it off, you got to undo the battery cable. That turns off the ignition. But he put that on in the morning and filled the radiator cap up with water. No water, no cap, you see. And he ran it a little while, and it's always blowing blue smoke. I mean, just clouds of smoke. It just billows out from under that cover because, see, the exhaust pipe's been broken off. So the exhaust just flows out everywhere except the top. Well, after you'd crank it a few times, the battery went dead because the generator's burned up. Every once in a while you hear that generator. Yeah. And he couldn't crank it. So the fellow on the watermelon truck got on there, got a hold of the hand crank. He stuck it in, he stood way off to the side, says, "This is a man killer." I guess half a turn, then he'd walk over to the other side and go, pull it up half a turn, and he'd like that. Well, he, you know, it was just going vroom, vroom.
Uh-huh.
So Leslie came up and says, "Wait a minute." Put it back in. He stood over it. He says, "Man, if I get this just right, whew, I can do something." Everybody just kind of looked at him. He just looked at me and shake his head. Whew! Like, well, we followed that through the field. It's the funniest little chuckle. And he got a little hacked off at the fellow that was loading the melons, because this one fellow had come in and said, "You cut any melon. I don't care if it's small or what. Just cut them all, and I'll take them." And then he weighed around, and we had two other trucks loaded. And this fellow said, "Well, look, you're not even going to get me loaded today." So he left. Well, that left Leslie stuck with all these little melons. And we brought them in. The guy's loading the truck. "No, that's too small. Put it off. That's too small. Put it off. That's too small." And I guess we must have called out about 200 of them. And Leslie got upset after a while. And we had two loads on that truck, and the guy was just throwing off the little ones and taking his pig. And Leslie says, "All right, now wait a minute. I've just had enough of this. I'm losing too much money. I'm not even going to break even on this melon patch. Now, if you're not going to just take these melons, we're just going to hold it up right now. No more loads. We'll just leave those in the field. I get somebody else on that."
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get a little tense there, and then he chuckled. Bernard would be loading. See, Bernard and Billy are just boys. Picking up melons, a good bit of work for them. And they get silly after them, they get tired. Bernard would heave that melon up there, and he'd hit Billy in the stomach and knock him down. And the melon would bust. "Well, all right, you're going to bust a melon now and then. Well, after you bust 10 or 15, though, I'd say, all right, now, let's say, all right, you boys, now let's cool down. I want you to work. You're out here to work. You don't play around now." I don't think anybody could quite get upset, because he'd come off with that little chuckle.
Yeah.
And he just carried us through the
I never noticed that.
He's the one that Norman bought his property from. Leslie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
That's right.
Wait, Norman.
Well, high in the world.
Up on the hill, right here.
I didn't get that.
I heard about it.
How did Leslie get a hold of that?
I don't know. I reckon they used to live up there before the house burned down, and there was a house up there. I hear the rain. Dark and rain.
Wow, Wade.
I'll be paddling home.
I can see this motor start up.
Yeah, I can see it from here.
We've had rain almost all day long now.
Have we?
Just about.
We had a half an inch last night, 7/10.
Had a good bit this morning, and it's just almost a drizzle coming to it almost all day. More coming now. Let's wait to start the summer.
Well, the best thing that was said was he started off on Miss Mary. And they'd been quiet for a while after he got over there, and she says, "Well, it don't do any good to spend money on yourself." David's intention. He's just been to the electrolysis.
Oh.
And he did that.
John went over around 300 or 400, and the end of the visit with Wade and Rick. Wade came and spent a long time starting on Channel 1 right, Channel 2 right, where Rick starts, and this goes, then Rick comes in for supper, and we all talk with Debbie, all of us, this Thursday, the 21st of June, 73, and it's sprinkling away now. Nice little sprinkler, half almost a light shower. This Thursday, after supper, the 21st of June, 73.